Hello, welcome to the Sutliffian Report. Thank you for joining me, Darcy. I have a busy show, and we'll see if we go. I don't want to go over because I understand there's an announcement to be made with the Cross and the Crescent today. So we may end a few minutes early, but we have a power-packed show to go. And as this is a Christian news show, I always want to start with a reading from God's Word. And I have been going through what I had thought. You know, I'm going through the book of Leviticus. To be honest, I thought it would be incredibly dry when I started it. It's been a while since I've read it. And I've been reading along, and you know, and a lot of it just makes sense. And you start to think about it, and it tells you a lot about who Jesus is, believe it or not. Reading Levitical law. I never thought I would find that there, but you always learn something new when you read the Word of God. But this comes from Leviticus 10:1-2. And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein and put incense thereon and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. And there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Now, I was looking more into this to see what exactly they did. And there's thoughts, well, they didn't follow the directions. Okay, that's evidence when we talk about the strange fire and the order of things that they were talking about that they did. Yeah, that's it. But when you read Leviticus 16, verses 1 and 2, you really know how bad these boys were. Here's what it says in Leviticus 16:1-2. And the Lord spake unto Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron, when they offered before the Lord and died. And the Lord said unto Moses, speak unto Aaron your brother, that he come not at all times to the holy place within the veil before the mercy seat, which is upon the ark, that he die not, for I will appear in the cloud upon the mercy seat. So Nadab and Abihu, I mean, I want you to think about this. They entered what we call the Holy of Holies. They entered that place where the Ark of the Covenant was. They weren't supposed to go in there. They were basically trying to, they were overstepping their own authority, that of their father, and that against God. It was a willful sin against God. During this time, willful sin was punished at this time. And I want you to think about that. Willful sin. Things you willingly do. Us guys will call it doing the stupid thing, but a lot of times we know we're doing the stupid thing before we start. These guys made a willful sin. And at that time, if you made a willful sin, you were kicked out. You had to go live in the wilderness all on your own. You weren't allowed to be part of Israel. That's something to think about. These guys had planned this out. It was totally coordinated between the two brothers. Its point was to elevate themselves, not God. What's the purpose of worship? It's supposed to be to glorify God. These guys were glorifying themselves. They wanted to become, they wanted to take their dad's spot, basically. They totally missed the rituals. Spoke of God's holiness and man's lack thereof. Man needed these rituals, these sacrifices, to cover the stench and stain of their sins. You know, they went through all the motions of being set aside with their dad, Aaron, and their brothers to become God's priests, but their hearts weren't there with God. They had more faith in themselves than in their father and their uncle Moses. They thought nothing of God, their father and their uncle, except that serving them might be an opportunity to steal a higher position. This kind of thought process denies that God is personal. Well, it's almost Islamic. He not only speaks to people, he has a relationship with them. That's what they missed. Dear Lord Jesus, you alone are worthy of my worship. You alone stand to help us to stand stronger and to speak of your love. Remove our vain nature, Lord. Work on us from within. We want those we meet to know you, to see your love from us. So change us, Lord. Help us to be the good witnesses you want us to be. In your name, amen. And let me get back to my screen. Sorry about this. Okay. And today I have a presentation that I want to do in what I call the misinformation game, and I'm going to give you a shot of what that is. This should be a little surprising, and maybe not for some, but let me just play this game out. Hopefully everybody can see. I'm calling this the misinformation game, and the masters of it, I'm going to name names, and I'm going to point fingers. Hey, welcome, welcome. Thanks for joining us. The link is in the Facebook group, and it's in the live chat. So if you want to join, or I can put it there for you. Or I think I, let me see if I still have it here. The link in a second. I'll send you the link. You want to join? All right. Okay. Here we go. So we're going to be talking about misinformation, so I thought it only fair to get into this straight away. Part of what I do, writing and researching on Islam, is all due to this misinformation game, when you think about it. I'm only involved in this because all the information that was told to people I work with, the school that I got my master's from, was all lies. And people were willing to believe lies, and I'm a research writer. I was one before I got into this field, and when you get into that field of research writing, I tell everybody you go down a deep, dark hole. You find more about what you don't know, and you keep going down that hole and learning more about what you don't know. But the problem is when you find out you've been told something wrong or you've been lied to. Here, let's go down this hole. And all right, so I got this misinformation here. There's a site called Sound Vision, and they have a page called the Sharia of Human Interconnectedness. It's by Abdul Malik Mujahid. And again, this came up, believe it or not, this article came out today, which, I mean, it says published October 6th. You see that? 2022. And I just started looking today, made me wonder when I was looking at this site. So get back here. All right. Let's take a look. On this site, they claim there are many hadith or teachings of the prophet quoting from his sermons, which repeatedly strike at Arab pride, pride in ancestry, and ill treatment of the others in terms of color, tribe, religion, and class. Then they go and they say, the prophet realized the challenges of preaching the message of unity of humankind. Even in his farewell sermon, shortly before his death, he made it a point to address this issue. Now, notice there is no source there. It's just a blanket statement in his farewell sermon. Really? Where's your proof? Why didn't you cite a source? I'm having some difficulty with this. And so the word taqwa, actually, there also is their concept of piety. That doesn't even follow. So let's read this. It says, O people, remember that your Lord is one.